Ulama explained the wisdom behind this analogy. He said the transition that takes place on a daily basis from light to darkness is not instant, it is gradual. Darkness stealthily, gradually encroaches upon one till all of a sudden you realize now it's dark. Like that, Allah Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fitna dekhan, stealthily, secretly, from different angles. And what will be the effect of these fitnas? Yusbih al-rajul mu'min al-wayl sitafir. He said, a person in the morning will have iman, by the evening he will have become kafir. A person in the evening will have iman, but the next morning will become kafir. This statement, or this concept or idea, what does it mean that a person had iman becomes a kafir? That a person was born with miftah al-jannah, was born with the key to jannah, born with the key to eternal success. We are living in an environment where from different directions, whether it is electronic media, whether it is the printed media, whether it is the so-called educational institutes, but there is a propaganda machinery of battle that 24 hours a day is working to espouse an idea of success. And primarily, what is their concept or idea of success or failure? Like we put it in layman's terms, paisa mil gaya to kamyab ban gaya, paisa nahi mila to nakam. Acquire the material wealth of this world and you become successful. If you don't have a fancy house or a fancy car, you don't have a few degrees attached to your name, or you don't have any worldly recognition, then you are unsuccessful. This concept or idea is being espoused by the battle machinery of propaganda 24 hours a day. When we look into Quran and Hadith, and we look into that alone which reached us from the Arsh of Allah, to the agency of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, untainted by human hand. And whenever Allah Ta'ala in the Quran speaks of falah and success, many, many places Allah Ta'ala speaks in the Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ فَمَنْ ثَمَّ مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. Many, many more places, time is limited. Allah Ta'ala says, these are the successful ones, these are the ones that have succeeded, they are in happiness, they are in enjoyment. Primarily, what does Quran and Hadith define as success? The first verse which I mentioned, the one who is saved from Jahannam and enters into Jannah, he has succeeded. The one whose scale of deeds is heavy, he has succeeded. The one who has obeyed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, he has achieved the greatest success. And what is loss? What is failure? Lack of material wealth? Lack of investments? Lack of leaving behind your footprint in this world? No. قُلْ, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ يَا عِبَادِ فَاتَّقُونِ. Tell them, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, who are the losers? Who are those that have failed? Who are those that have failed? الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ. They are those that have put themselves and their families into loss. Not in this world. Not in this world. Not that they didn't have a roof over their head. Not that they didn't have a pillow underneath their head. Not that they didn't have a bank balance which had 5 or 6 zeros to it. Who are the losers? Who are those that have lost? Who are those that have failed? الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. They are those who have failed on the Day of Judgment. أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. Listen, this is the great loss. لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ذُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. From above their heads there will be fire. From beneath their feet there will be fire. نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Their rooms will be made out of fire. لَهُمْ مِنْ جَهَنَّمَ مِهَادٌ وَمِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ غَوَاشٌ. Their blanket will be out of fire. Their bedding will be out of fire. سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَطِرَانٍ وَتَغْشَى وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارُ. Their pants will be out of fire and their faces will be enveloped with fire. That is loss. That is loss, not the material loss of this world. Whenever Quran speaks of success or failure, wallah, my respected brothers, we will never find any inference to success or failure having anything to do with the material things of this world. In fact, that personality who Allah had given such intelligence, that Wahab bin Munabbah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْتِ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَدِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ إِنْقِضَائِهَا مِنَ الْعَقْلِ فِي جَمِّ عَقْلِهِ إِلَّا كَحَبَّةِ رَمْلٍ بَيْنَ رِمَالِ الدُّنْيَا. He said, if the combined uqul and intelligence of every human being from Adam alayhi salam to the last individual to come before Qiyamah had to be pulled together and equated to one grain of sand, then the aql and intelligence of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be all the grains of sand on the surface of the earth. What does he define success to be? He says, if one person, the mafhum of the hadith, if one person has to own the entire world, one person has to own the entire world, he has not achieved even the wing of one mosquito. لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضٍ مَا سَقَى كَافِرًا مِنْهَا شُرْبَةَ مَا. So coming back to this warning and prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a person will have iman in the morning, by the evening he will have become a kafir. He will have iman in the evening, by the morning he will have become a kafir. What is the loss? What is the loss? Miftahul Jannah he has lost. He hasn't lost some property. He hasn't lost a million or a billion pounds. He hasn't lost some investment which he had kept for the future, some nest egg. He has lost, wallah, such a great loss that there cannot be a loss greater than that. This month of Rajab is synonymous with what? With Mi'raj al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mi'raj, many ulama say, was a form of consolation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prior to that, three great griefs were heaped upon the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to many muarikhin, it took place after the 10th year of Nubuwwat. What happened in the 10th year? Which is referred to as Aamul Huzn, the year of grief. One great loss that occurred in that year was the demise of Abu Talib. Who was Abu Talib? That individual who in the valley of Abu Talib, in Shi'ab Abi Talib, when the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was boycotted for 3 years, there was no food, there was no water, there was no sustenance, there was no food, they were not even allowed to trade. What was the condition of the boycott? We are prepared to release this boycott, give you freedom, give you emancipation, return you back to your homes with one condition only, hand over Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hand over Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we will give you back your life, your property, your earning, everything. Abu Talib at that juncture recites what is referred to as Qasida Lamia. 90 couplets, just a few couplets. كَذَبْتُمْ وَبَيْتِ اللَّهِ نُبْزَى مُحَمَّدًا وَلَمَّا نُطَاعِنُ دُونَهُ وَنُنَاضِلِي وَنُسْلِمُهُ حَتَّى نُصَرَّى حَوْلَهُ وَنُذْهَلَ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَالْحَلَائِلِ وَأَبْيَضَ يُسْتَسْقَى الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِهِ ثُمَالٌ لِيَتَامَى عِصْمَةً لِلْأَرَامِلِ. 90 couplets, the crux of it, the crux of what Abu Talib said. He said, slaughter every one of us. Make a mountain of our corpses, then only you will be able to harm one hair on the body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same Abu Talib, how many signs did Allah not give him? Allama Suyuti rahimullah mentions the incident in his Qasais al-Kubra. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a 12-year-old boy. Abu Talib takes his nephew amongst with a few other prominent businessmen from the Quraysh on a trade delegation to Syria. On the road they passed by a place where there was a monk, an ascetic, who for years was famous amongst the people of that area as being an individual that was never seen in public. He had formed a soma'a, a worship place, housed it in the trunk of a tree, and for years and years and years, with exclusivity engaged in the ibadat and the worship of Allah. He would speak to no one, interact with no one. When the camp, then this caravan of the Quraysh camps near the soma and worship place of this individual whose name was Buhayra, he was known as Buhayra Rahib, Buhayra the ascetic or the monk, he extends an invitation that I prepared a meal for you people, I am inviting you all for a meal. One cannot even gauge the shock or the reaction of the populace that knew of Buhayra. A man who has not spoken to anyone in years has invited you people for a meal. What is so special about you? You are honored. So what they do, they leave the little boy Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 12 years old, to look after the camels, and they present themselves for the meal. When Buhayra comes out of his soma'a, worship place, first question he asks, where is the youngster? So they said, we left him to look after the camels. He said, you fools, it is because of him that I have invited you. Send for that youngster. They send for the little boy, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he is walking, Buhayra is observing his movement. The Quraysh are observing his movement. What had happened is that whatever shade there was had been occupied by the group that had reached first. So that finally when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, there was no shade for him. He sat in the direct glare of the sunlight. No sooner did he sit down, the clouds moved to cover him. So Buhayra addressed them. He said, did you observe this? Did you observe the manner in which the clouds moved to give him cloud cover? Did you not observe the manner in which every tree or leaf that he passed made sajda and bowed out to him? He said, this was the sunnah of the previous Anbiya. This boy is to be a Nabi. And I cautioned. Then he asked them the question, whose child is this? Abu Talib says, this is my child. Buhayra says, you are speaking lies. He had never met Abu Talib before, yet he says, you are speaking lies. My scriptures have informed me that the father of this child passed away before he was born. Abu Talib says, yes, he is the child of my brother, but I love him more than my own children. I love him more than my own children. I love him more than my own children. That level of devotion. Buhayra cautions them, take him back to Makkah. I fear the Jews that you are bound to encounter on this journey to Syria, if they come to know of his existence, will harm him. How many signs were they not there for Abu Talib? When the Quraysh formed their delegation and they came to Rasulullah sallallahu, they came to Abu Talib, we are no longer prepared to accept your protection of your young, of this youngster, of your nephew. Tell him to stop what he is doing. Again, my respected brothers, we have to reflect and ponder, what did they have a problem with? Tell him to stop what he is doing. What? Did they have a problem with his sajda? Did they have a problem with his ibadah? Did they have a problem with his worship of Allah? Before the age of 40, this was an individual that was well known in Makkah. For days on end, he would be in Ghar Hira, in the cave of Hira, making the ibadat of Allah. Sometimes his food supply would run out. Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, his beloved wife, she would prepare food and she would carry it to the cave of Hira to leave it there for him so that he could continue making the ibadat of Allah in solitude. Whilst he was doing this, he was the most honored person in Makkah. Al-Amin, As-Sadiq, they would call him the truthful one, the trustworthy one. Their valuables, they would leave it with him. They would honor him, they elevated him. So what did they have a problem with? Tell him to stop what he is doing. Stop what? Stop this da'wah. Stop this calling humanity towards Allah. Stop this day and night effort to instill the greatness and the wahdaniyat and the oneness of Allah in the hearts of people. Stop this worry and concern that how humanity can be saved from Jahannam and enter into Jannah. Abu Talib sends for his nephew, afraid for his life. One riwayat, لَوُضِعَتِ الشَّمْسُ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرُ فِي يَسَارِي. He says, oh my uncle, if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I will still not leave this. Another riwayat, that which this ummah today has considered to be the work of some group organization, that which this ummah today has considered to be something of sawab, of benefit, do it if you like, don't do it if you don't like. Some foreign speaker or dignitary or some scholar has come. I'm not tablighi, I just came to hear the bayan. I just came to sit in the majlis a little bit. That type of attitude. And yet, what does Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Oh my nephew, stop what you are doing. What is his response? He says, ma ana bi aqdar min an ada ma bu'ithtu bihi min an yush'ila ahadukum min hadhihi shamsi shu'lata nar. He says, oh my uncle, it is easier for me. It is easier for me to take a burning coal from the sun and my entire body burn to ashes than me desert and abandon my ummah's dawah. With tears in his eyes, he says this to Abu Talib. Abu Talib seeing the determination. He says, فَاسْتَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ لَمْ تُسِبْكَ صَبَابَةٌ وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَقَدْ كُنْتَ قَبْلُ أَمِينًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدْ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ وَحَذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمِحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. He says, oh my nephew, carry on with what you are doing. فَاسْدَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ. Carry on with what you are doing. No harm will come to you. Why? You are truthful and you have always been truthful. And then Abu Talib, what does he say? وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدْ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. He says, I know in my heart that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of every religion. If it were not for the fear of the taunts of the women of Quraysh, that out of the fear of old age or illness or death, I abandoned the religion of my forefathers. If it were not for their taunts and their laments, the fear of that, I would have openly recited your kalima. And Allah's taqdeer ghalib, talab was not there. Allah's hikmat baligha, the same Abu Talib, so many signs, so many indications on one side. On the other side, such devotion, such compassion, such qurbani, such wafadari, such allegiance, such sacrifice for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet he leaves the world, he leaves this world with the words, ala deeni Abdul Muttalib, on his lips. What is the consequence of that? What is the consequence of that? Inna ahwana ahli an-nari azaban la rajulun yudha'u fi akhmasi qadamayhi jamratan yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu. Various places in the Quran Allah describes the azab of Jahannam. Inna alladhina kafaru bi ayatina sawfa nuslihim nara kullama nadhijat juluduhum badalnahum juludan ghayraha liyadhuqul adab. Allah says, those who will belie our signs, soon they will enter into a blazing fire. Each time one layer of skin is burnt, we will replace it with another layer of skin so that they can continue to taste the azab and the affliction of Jahannam. This medical or scientific understanding that the nerve senses that perceive pain are contained in the skin, which is the largest organ of the body, and that if you remove the skin, then the individual will not be able to feel any pain because the nerve senses of pain have been removed. This is a fairly recent scientific discovery. 14 centuries ago, Allah in His Quran informs the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the azab of Jahannam, but with this mode of expression, kullama nadhijat juluduhum, every time the skin burns, we will replace it with another layer of skin, so that they can continue feeling the pain and the hurt of the azab of Jahannam. The human being in this world, the skin, the breadth of it is about 1 centimeter. It is said the breadth of the skin of a Jahannami will be 85 foot long. 85 feet long will be the breadth of the skin of a Jahannam. Such an azab, such a wabal, alayha tis'ata ashar. How many places in the Quran Allah Ta'ala describes this wabal? Allah describes this Jahannam. that wallah, my respected brothers, unfortunately today this ummah, the munasabat and the link and the attachment with Quran is not there. Quran, our elders tell us, Quran ek na ashna paigham ban chuki. Quran has become an irrelevant message. Open up a new business or shop, get a few hufas together to read a little bit Quran. Feel somebody has some jadu asar or jinn asar, then we read a few verses of Quran. Or for barakat, a little bit Quran. Ramadan. Ramadan Sharif, little bit Quran is there. I remember a few years ago, one town in South Africa, we were in Jamaat. We were proceeding for a program, we passed one masjid, there was no... The entire street was blocked. There was no space to move also. So I asked the rabbi, what's going on here? Some foreign qari has come, or is there some special program? So he says, Mawlana Sahib, in this masjid, Taraweeh, they read last 10 surahs. This is why it's such a big crowd. In fact, Ramadan, even the ordinary person who doesn't know how to make istinja properly also, he becomes a mufti in Ramadan. Like one masjid, they had parking. We're not going into the fiqhi bahas. That leave to the ulama or fuqaha that are qualified. This is just an observation. One masjid, they had parking, they had signs outside. One arrow this way, 8 rakats parking. One arrow this way, 20 rakats parking. In other words, we become conscious of shortcuts. Shortcut. Why the shock? Leave the fiqhi bahas one side. We're not here. We don't get into ikhtilaf with anyone. But what did my Nabi say? The mafhum of the hadith. Allahu Akbar. He said, for each sajda of Taraweeh Salah, Allah will give you 1500 hasanat. 1500 hasanat for each sajda of Taraweeh Salah. That is 20 rakats, 40 sajda, 60,000 hasanat every night. The announcement had been made this coming Ramadan, first Taraweeh, London Markaz, underneath the Musalla, you will find 1500 pounds. After Taraweeh, 1500 pounds, then wallah, this entire structure will be too small. Nana, nani, dada, dadi, even the old, the infirm, the senile also will bring them. Why? Because underneath the musalla, 1500 pounds. 1500 hasana. We understand the value of maal, we don't understand the value of amal. One Jamaat from Qatar came a few years ago to South Africa, Masturat Jamaat. Amir of the Jamaat, I remember this analogy very beautifully. He mentioned the hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, Subhanallah, mithlu jabali ahadin rahaban fil jannah. He said, if you tell someone, by every time you say Subhanallah, I'll give you 10 rand, call it 10 pound, what will happen? Assalamu alaikum, Subhanallah, how are you, Subhanallah? Besides absolutely necessary speech, everything will be Subhanallah. Why the till is ringing, 10 pound, 10 pound, 10 pound, 10 pound, 10 pound. And what did Sadiqul Masduq, the seven heavens and the seven earths can come to an end. Not one word of lie passed through his Mubarak lips. What did he say? He said, one Subhanallah is equivalent to the mountain of Uhud in gold in Jannah. 14 kilometer long mountain range in gold in Jannah, one Subhanallah. We understand the value of maal, we don't understand the value of amal. One person brought his child to the Mawlana Sahib. He said, Mawlana Sahib, make dua for my son. Mawlana Sahib makes dua, Ya Allah, make the son of so and so muazzin. This man gets upset. He says, I told you to make dua, not baddua. Muazzin. Why didn't you say scientist, doctor, astrophysicist? Muazzin. And yet, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The mafhum of the hadith. He said, the body of the doctor and the engineer and the scientist and the astrophysicist will become the fodder and the food of the insects of the grave. Allah will make the body of a muazzin haram on the insects of the grave. أَطْوَلُ النَّاسِ أَعْنَاقًا يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُؤَذِّنُونَ. He said, the people with the longest necks, that is the highest rank on the day of judgment, will be those who used to call out adhan. ألا وإنكم جعلتم نسبا وجعلت نسبي جعلت أكرمكم أتقاكم ولكن أبيتم وقلتم إن فلان ابن فلان خير من فلان ابن فلان اليوم أبو نسبكم وأرفع نسبي أين المتقون. On that day the announcement will be made that listen, you people had one idea or basis of success or failure or distinction or honor or status or position, and we had one concept. What was your concept? The one who was driving the fancy car, had the Hugo Boss suit, or had the big hefty bank balance, you looked up to him. Like the poet says, يَمْشِي الْفَقِيرُ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ ضِدُّهُ تَرَاهُ مُبْغِضًا وَلَيْسَ بِمُذْنِبٍ يَرَى الْعَدَاوَةَ وَلَا يَرَى أَسْبَابَهَا حَتَّى أَنَّ الْكِلَابَ إِذَا رَأَتْ ذَا ثَرْوَةٍ خضعت لديه وحركت أذنابها وإذا رأت يوما فقيرا غابرا نبحت عليه وقشرت أنيابها. الله أكبر. He says the poor man walks. The poor man walks and the whole world is against him. تراه مبغضا وليس به. He sees the distaste. He sees the scorn on your face, but he has not committed any crime. He sees the enmity, he doesn't understand the cause. Such is the effect of this environment of batil, paisa, paisa, paisa. Acquire the material wealth of the world, this is success, this is honor, this is dignity, this is the goal of your life, this is the height of accomplishment. Doesn't matter who you trample upon, doesn't matter whose rights you eat up, doesn't matter whom you hurt. Acquire material wealth of this world, this psychology, this drive has even affected the animals. He says the dog also, when it sees the rich man, it stretches out its forepaws and it wags its tail. It sees the vagabond and the poor man, it starts barking at him and chasing at him. What is the underlying wisdom of this analogy? He says this mentality that attaches, places a price tag, it places a value attachment to an individual on that which is zahir, that which is apparent. This is the thinking and intelligence of a dog or an animal. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith is clear, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ. Allah will not look at your outward appearance. Allah will not be affected by the flamboyance and that which is apparent. Allah looks at what is inside. Hamare hazrat kehte hain aadmi ki qeemat andar ke sarmaya se bante hai. The value of an individual is what is inside. What is this heart beating with? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with some sahaba, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, walks past. He was nahiful jism. His body was very thin. His limbs, his shins were very, very thin, like pegs. Sticks. The wind blew, his lungi lifted up. They saw his shins. Thin sticks, pegs. So one or two sahaba giggled. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa looked at them and said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهُمَا لَأَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ جَبَلِ أُحَدٍ. He said, by the qasam of that being, in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two shins of Abdullah bin Mas'ud are weightier on the scale of deeds than the mountain of Uhud. What was it inside? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, on one occasion he's sitting with his students from amongst the tabi'een, the generation after Sahaba. And he says to them, أنتم أكثر صياما وصلاة واجتهادا من أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم مع ذلك كانوا خيرا منكم. He said, you people exert yourself more. You people exert yourself more in ibadat, in salah, in ijtihad. In the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you exert yourself more than the sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But despite that, they were better than you. Despite that, they were better than you. So they asked him, Bima. Oh, Abdullah, tell us why. This is not an ordinary sahabi. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was that sahabi who Allah had blessed Allah had blessed with this level of companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much time he would spend in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Mu'arrikheen record that an outsider from Medina Munawwara, when he would observe the regularity of the movement of Abdullah bin Mas'ud in and out of the homes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in public with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would form the opinion that he is from amongst the Ahlul Bayt, he is from amongst the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though he wasn't a direct family descendant, such was the level of companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says to the Tabi'een, despite your excessive ibadat, the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were better than you. They asked him why. He said, "Hum kanu azhada fi dunya wa arghaba fil akhirah." Hum kanu azhada fi dunya wa arghaba fil akhirah. He said, Sahaba's yaqeen and conviction on akhirat was more than yours. Their disattachment, their disinclination from this world was more than yours. The value of this human being is what is inside. Andar ke sarmaya, what is inside? What is this heart beating with? Allah's azmat, Allah's greatness, the recognition of who is Allah. Ramadan is coming. Thermometer is given. Barometer is given. A lot of times we have this mindset of this idea, why are you knocking on my door? Knock on someone else, I read my salah. I'm practicing upon deen. Each one forms a perception as to what his level of commitment to deen and Islam should be, and he's satisfied with that. So knock on someone else's door. You don't need to knock on my door. The barometer is coming. One tabi'i says, I went behind Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. He was reading tahajjud salah in the haram of Makkah. Usman said, Allahu Akbar. I stood behind him. I said, Allahu Akbar. Usman radiallahu anhu started with Surah Fatiha. By the qasam of my Allah, he did not go into ruku' until he reached Surah Nas. The entire Quran, in one rakat of tahajjud salah. And what would Usman say? لَوْ تَهُرَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مَا شَبِعْتُمْ مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. He would say, if your hearts were pure, مَا شَبِعْتُمْ مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, you would never ever become tired of listening to Quran. Hours and hours of music. Youngsters today, with the Ray-Bans on, with the earphones stuck in the ears, the body jiving and shaking. What they say, music is food for the soul. That which Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-ghina yumbitu al-nifaqa fil qalb kama yumbitu al-ma'u al-zara. He said, like how water will cause crops, like how water causes crops and plants to grow. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the listening to the haram music of this world will cause nifaq and hypocrisy to grow in your heart. And what will be the cause of this? What will be the eventual result of this? How will it exhibit itself? Ulama say at the time of maut to recite kalima will become difficult. Kalima will not come on the tongue. I remember a few years ago, time is limited, unfortunately. I remember a few years ago, in Ramadan, our Jamaat was in Transvaal, Johannesburg. Our Markaz Baitun Nur, I remember it was after, late at night, after 11, 12 o'clock at night, I entered the Markaz. There was one brother, Syrian brother, doctor. When he saw me, he rushed forward, very, very happy, embraced. Ibn Rajab Hanbali Rahimullah's riwayat. He narrates an asr that Allah Ta'ala says, Inni la ahammu bi ahli al-ardi adaba. Allah says that I make the decision. That now my azab has to fall upon a particular locality. The level of maasiyat, the level of disobedience has reached that level that Allah's azab is imminent. فَإِذَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ أُمَّارِ بُيُوتِ. What does Allah say? When I see that there are some people in that locality, when I see that there are some people in that locality that are making the masjid abad. This abadi of masjid is not something small. While they are crying out, they are calling out, by give time to the masjid, attach yourself to the masjid. What is the reaction of the so-called intelligentsia, or the academic thinkers, or the progressive thinkers of Islam? That we, when faced with the plight or the malady that is facing this ummah, we almost for 2 to 3 centuries this ummah is sinking in a web, in a morass of moral degradation. This ummah is sinking to such a level where the tide of humanity has turned against this ummah, where such halat and conditions are coming upon this ummah. Allah's Rasul, that hadith we heard in the beginning, he said, a man will have iman in the morning, will have become a kafir by the evening. He will have iman in the evening, will have become a kafir by the morning. And he explained what the underlying cause of this would be. He said, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He said, my ummah will sell their deen. My ummah will sell their deen. Iman will become a commodity that is sold in the marketplace. A few years ago, there was a jamaat from Indonesia, one of the most populous countries in the world. 280 million is the population. In one town, Ladysmith in South Africa, there were 8 brothers in that jamaat. 7 of them were over 60 years of age. Couldn't speak English. Out for 4 months in the path of Allah. There was only one under 60 years of age who could speak a little bit English. So I asked him, by what is the halat of your country? He said, 13,000 islands, 280 million people. He said, Mauli Saab, in the last 20 to 30 years, in the last 20 to 30 years, 10% of the population have become murtad. 30 million people born with iman have become kafir. He said, there is some islands with 1 million people, not one alim. 1 million people, not one madrasa, not one maktab to disseminate the knowledge of Islam. That same tashkil, we went to one town in South Africa, Darul Uloom, on that same street, one of the asadis of the Darul Uloom says, Mauli Saab, on the same street of this Darul Uloom, 2 families have become murtad. Such a level of degradation, such a level of loss. We understand material loss, we understand economical loss. Wallah, my respected brothers, material loss and economical loss cannot equate to the loss of iman, to the loss of deen, to khasara forever and ever in akhirat. Such is the level of difficulty and plight that is facing this ummah. That one scholar puts it succinctly, he says, if one feels that if perhaps even the rocks or the stones had eyes, they also would begin to cry to see the pitiable situation of the ummah of Rasulullah. To practice upon sunnah, to practice upon the legacy of mercy and rahmat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has become an insult. Such is the level, such is the condition. We are looking around, we want solutions. The dominion, kingdom, ownership of the heavens and the earth, wallah, my respected brothers, belongs to none but Allah. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى أَلَا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكُ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ إِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. All these verses and many, many more verses, one principle, unequivocal message Quran is giving us on the kalam of Allah that nothing moves, nothing stops moving, nothing lives, nothing dies, nothing advances, nothing declines, nothing rises up, nothing is brought down in the heavens and the earth without the permission of Allah. Allah is the doer, Allah is the maker, Allah is the controller. Any attempt to address the malady or plight of this ummah, having removed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the equation, by the qasam of my Allah, will never solve the problem, it will worsen the problem. It will exacerbate the problem. We are running in every direction, but what is Quran telling us? Fafirru ilallah, fafirru ilallah, fafirru ilallah, run back to Allah. Point the finger everywhere else but at ourselves. The youngsters today, what they say? We want to march. We want to raise the flag of Islam. We are warriors of Islam. At the time of Fajr, the Azan is called out. That warrior of Islam cannot raise the 50-ounce blanket off his body. What flag of Islam is he going to raise? We have to internalize. Wallah, Quran and Hadith teaches us one thing and one thing only. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna Allah, aslaha Allahu ma baynahu wa bayna khalqi. Correct your relationship with Allah, Allah will correct your relationship with the rest of humanity. Imbibe within yourself the love for humanity that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, the concern for humanity that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, and wallah, Allah will fill their hearts with love for you. A Jew's janaza is going in Medina. What is my Nabi doing? He's crying. He's crying. Sahaba say, Alaysat Yahudiyan. Ya Rasulullah, is it not a Jew? What is his response? Alaysat nafsun tafallatat minni. Is it not another ummati of mine that is going to Jahannam forever and ever? Was I not sent to cry for him? Why did I cry stones to my stomach? Why did he suffer? For what? For that same person. For one person to be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannah. Wallah, until this ummat does not identify itself with that dard and pain of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until this ummat does not embrace what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, by the qasam of my Allah, conditions will never change. Conditions have to be changed inside, not outside. ضرب مثل فاستمعوا له إن الذين تدعون من دون الله لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له. Quran tells us, everyone you will turn to besides Allah, everyone you will look towards besides Allah, everyone you will blame besides Allah, you are looking elsewhere. What does Allah say? What is their power? What is their might? 14 centuries ago, what does Allah say? لَيْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. They will never be able to create even one fly. They will never be able to create even one fly, even if they pool their resources. Forget creating a fly. وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا. If the fly steals something from them, sometimes the fly settles on your food, it flies away. There is an Urdu analogy, when a person is bakil, very miserly, they call him a makki chus. What it means, they say, this: he'll squeeze the oil out of a fly. In other words, he'll try to take back from the fly what the fly took from him. Allah says, whoever you will turn to besides Allah cannot even take back from the fly what it took from them. Rauf al-talib wal-matlub. They are weak, you're also weak. Who are you turning towards? What direction are you looking? This ummah was given Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This ummah was given an imam. This ummah was given a guide. Look around us. Who have we made our imam? Who are we emulating? Who are we following? Whose dard is there? Whose concern is there? Whose worry is there in this heart? When Allah speaks of His Nabi in Quran, what is the laqab? What is the title? Rahmatul lil alameen. Rahmatul lil alameen. He said, my Nabi is nothing. Wama arsalnaka illa. This illa, what does it do? It creates a meaning of exclusivity. Removes every other possible title or concept or idea that you can attach to Him. And Allah says, He is nothing. And nothing but a mercy to humanity. Dard, pain, rahmat and concern for humanity. Where is it today in the ummah? Where is that concern? Where is that worry? This ummah has to come back to that. We have become an ummah that is externalizing everything. We are not internalizing. We are not placing that barometer, that thermometer in this heart to measure how much is this heart attached to Allah. How much has this heart embraced the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much are we trying to address our malady on the light of Quran and Hadith, or are we looking elsewhere? No other Nabi and his ummah is mentioned more in the Quran than Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel. Ulama say of the 30 juz in the Quran, 28 juz of the Quran, Musa Bani Israel, Musa alayhi salam Bani Israel, Musa alayhi salam Bani Israel. This Quran was not revealed for the Bani Israel, this Quran was revealed for this ummah. Hudan wa shifa. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٌ. All these verses Allah is saying, come back onto the Quran. The message of the Quran will never change. It is a timeless message. This ummah is mentioned so much that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he says, my ummah, why? He says, my ummah will follow the Bani Israel. Khadwan na'li bin na'l. Khadwan na'li bin na'l. This analogy in Arabic, what it means? One is to follow someone. The other is to place your foot on the exact spot of the ground that he placed his foot. This is khadwan na'li bin na'l. In other words, mubalagha. To that extent, my ummah will follow the Bani Israel. Comes in one riwayat, Rasulullah ﷺ said that if someone from the Bani Israel commits incest with his mother, someone from this ummah will do the same. To that extent, this ummah will follow the Bani Israel. What is the underlying meaning? Why is this ummah spoken about so much? That when the halat and situation and conditions similar to that which came on the Bani Israel come on my ummah, then what was the solution given to that ummah? The same solution is given to this ummah. We are talking about aggression. We are talking about oppression of today. Firaun slaughtered 70,000 of the newborn babies of Bani Israel on a whim. An astrologer told him that a newborn male child is going to take your kingdom on that whim. On the basis of news of an astrologer, someone who looks at stars, he slaughtered 70,000 newborn babies. And no one could say anything. Their women were made into slaves. That level of aggression, Musa alayhi salam is sent. What is the message? What is the prescription? What is the nuskha? What is the formula? اجعلوا بيوتكم قبلة وأقيموا الصلاة. What does Allah command Musa alayhi salam with? The same what we today are saying is a simplistic solution. We need an academic problem solution. Progressive thinkers are not prepared to accept it. What is Musa alayhi salam sent with? Kalima namaz, kalima namaz, kalima namaz. Make every home a qibla, make every home a musalla, establish the amal of masjid. Ij'alu buyutakum qiblatan wa aqimus salah. That same message that today has been given to the ummah, come back to the masjid, establish amal of masjid. إِنَّ لِلْمَسْجِدِ أَوْتَادَ إِنَّ لِلْمَسْجِدِ أَوْتَادَ. What did my Nabi say? In the Arabic language you have this word he used, أوتاد, is the plural of watad. You have a peg. And you take a peg and knock it in the ground, it stays firm. You can't just remove it, it doesn't fall off, you have to uproot it. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in my ummah there will be some people who are the pegs of the masjid. Inna lil masjidi awtada. What is their maqam? What is their status? Allahu Akbar. He said, al malaikatu julusuhum. What should it have been? Hum Julusul Malaika. Like sometimes we hear some sheikh, some great buzurg has come. So what we say, let us go and sit in his sohbat. Some buzurg has come, let us sit in his sohbat, will benefit definitely. Sitting in the sohbat of ulama and the mashayikh, you will benefit. What does this expression mean? Inna lil masjidi awtada al malaikatu julusuhum. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the malaika say to one another, let us go and sit in the sohbat of that person. Al malaikatu julusuhum. In ghabu iftaqaduhum. If he is missing, they go look for him. In maridu aaduhum. If he is sick, they visit him. Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu, when he was sick, Allah's Rasul is walking in tiptoe in an empty room. Sahaba say, Ya Rasulullah, what are you doing? He says, so many malaika have come, I'm afraid to step on their wings. This is why I'm walking on tiptoe. In maridu aaduhum, in kanu fi hajatin aanuhum. If some need has kept him away from the masjid, they assist him and bring him back to the masjid. Kalima namaz, this is not some simplistic thing. This is the call of Quran and Hadith. This is that system to which Allah held the ummah of Musa alayhi salam. And wallah, this ummah also will be held. If you will come back onto Amal of Masjid, coming back to the hadith of Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimullah, he says, Allah says that I decide my azab is to come upon a certain people. وَإِذَا نَذَرْتُ إِلَىٰ أُمَّارِ بُيُوتِي. I notice amongst them there are those that are making the Masjid Abad. Masjid Abad is meant what? Abadi of Masjid with the Amal that took place in Masjid Nabawi in the time of Rasulullah. That is Abadi of Masjid. I noticed that there are some who are making abadi of masjid. Second condition, al-mutahabbi nafiya, those who love one another for my sake. This is what I digressed or at. Those who love one another for my sake. Wallah, if you want to understand this love, when two or three total strangers, different colors, different creed, different races, different nationalities, different background, go in the path of Allah, 40 days or 4 months, wallahi, if that time is spent correctly, many of us would have experienced that love, that bond, that affection Allah gives, that is even greater than brotherly love also. This person meets me with more happiness than my own brother would have met me. Why? Mauli sahab, I spent time with you in 1995, 20 years ago. 10 days he had spent in Jordan with me in the path of Allah. I met him, I said, by where you are now? He says, I relocated from Syria, I'm living in Qatar. The next morning, coming back to the point we were making, the next morning after Fajr, Ramadan, it was his bayan. This took place 3-4 years ago. I can remember almost every word as he said it. He said, when I moved to Qatar, I was a rheumatologist. I was working in the public hospital. It was the rule of the hospital that any new intern first has to serve 1 year in the casualty department of the hospital. So he said, I was serving 1 year in the casualty department. Obviously, there'll be very high mortality rate, accident victims, people will pass away. He says, Qatar is a country 98% Muslim. So he said, I had heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. That person whose last words are la ilaha illallah, when he leaves this world, his jannah is guaranteed. I had heard that hadith. He said, this curiosity was piqued within me, that many people will pass away in front of me, accident victims, etc., emergency cases. Let me see how many of them will recite kalima. He said, I served a 1 year period in that hospital, in that section. In that 1 year period, 100 people passed away in front of me. He said, it is the month of Ramadan. I'm asking you, brothers, how many you think recited kalima? 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%, 20%? He says, not one. Not one. He said, I began having sleepless nights. Said, Ya Allah, what is going on? He said, finally, towards the end of that 1 year, one person was brought in. And just before he passed away, he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He says, every day from that day onwards, I ask myself this question, what effort I am making? what environment I am in what direction I am going. Am I from the 1% or am I from the 99%? In an environment of zulmat, in an environment of darkness, in an environment where every command of Allah is being broken. My respected brothers, Allah fill the qabr of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi with noor. Allah used that banda of his to remind this ummat of his sabak that we forgot. What the day of this ummat was supposed to be, what the night of this ummat was supposed to be, what the cry and the fikr of this ummat was supposed to be. Coming back to that hadith, Allah Ta'ala says that when I decide my azab upon a people and I observe three categories of people, those that are keeping the masjid abad, those that love one another for my sake, wal mustaghfirina bil ashar, and those who are getting up in the dead of night, crying before Allah. What cry? What cry? Muslim Sharif riwayat, Aisha radiallahu anha says, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand on the musalla at night. His entire body would be shaking. His entire body would be writhing. Tears falling down his cheeks, into his beard, from the beard onto the ground. One night like this, an entire night, what did he say to his Allah? He said, Oh my Allah, Ibrahim Khalilullah said to you, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Those who will follow me, they are from me. Those who have disobeyed me, you are غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Forgive them if you want. Take them to task if you want. Isa Ruhullah said to you, إِنْ تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Oh my Allah, if you punish them, they are your slaves. If you forgive them, you are mighty and wise. In other words, forgive them if you want. Take them to task if you want. And then what did he do? Aisha radiallahu anha says, then he started saying, Ya Allah, I do not say to you like Ibrahim said. And I do not say to you like Isa Ruhullah said. Ya Rabbi Ummati Ummati. Ya Rabbi Ummati Ummati. Ya Rabbi Ummati Ummati. Oh Allah my Ummat. Oh Allah my Ummat. Oh Allah my Ummat. Who was he crying for? What was he saying? Ya Allah, forgive them if you want. And if you don't want to forgive them, then to forgive them. How much Quran interprets the level of this fikr. Quran interprets the level of this dard with this expression where Allah says, Allah addresses his Nabi in the Quran, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Oh my Nabi, are you going to kill yourself? Are you going to finish yourself? Are you going to destroy yourself? فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتْ. حَسْرَتْ كَرْتَ كَرْتَ اَبْنَا آپْكُ نَا مِتَا دَي. O my Nabi, with this dard, with this regret, with this grief, do not destroy yourself. Like when a little baby is crying, the mother cannot take the crying. What does she do? She embraces the child. She picks up the child. She cuddles the child. Oh my child, stop crying. Stop crying. Stop crying. Ulama say, there are approximately 150 verses in the Quran like this. That, oh my Nabi, lessen your dard, lessen your fikr, lessen your cry. Finally, Jibreel is sent in that riwayat of Muslim Sharif. Jibreel is sent. Allah sends Jibreel alayhi salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with what question? Oh my Nabi, why are you crying like this? Ask ourselves the question. Allah didn't know now. Allah didn't know why he was crying? Why was Jibreel sent to ask this question? Not because Allah didn't know. Because if Jibreel was not sent with this question, then you and I would not have come to know. Then that ummah which 14 centuries later, those youngsters whose bodies will be jiving to music, whose young girls will be naked, will be walking with clothes but naked in public, whose men will have their businesses soaked in riba and interest, whose women will flagrantly violate and break the commands of Allah, whose homes will be radiantly, openly violating every command of Allah, that ummah 14 centuries later must come to know, in whose heart are you piercing the arrow? Who are you hurting? Who are you showing your lack of allegiance to? Who have you turned your back upon? For that ummah to come to know, Jibreel was sent with this question. Oh my Nabi, why are you crying like this? He says, Jibreel, the worry of my ummah is making me cry. The worry of my ummah is making me cry. Such is the level of this dard. Jibreel goes back and comes back with the consolation. Sanurdika fi ummatik. Sanurdika fi ummatik. Oh my Nabi, do not cry. We will please you with regards to your ummah. We will please you with regards to your ummah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Bahrul Ulum, ocean of knowledge, what does he say? He says, La arda Muhammad, wa wahidun min ummatihi fin nar. He says, my Nabi will never become happy as long as one human being is in Jahannam. My Nabi will never become happy as long as one human being is in Jahannam. To bring this ummah back onto that sabak and lesson which we forgot, my respected brothers, is Dawat and Tabligh. This is not an organization. This is not a group. To learn this responsibility, our elders are saying, time is limited, Azan is going to be called out. This is a Mubarak time of acceptance. My respected brothers, don't look left, don't look right. The clock of our life is ticking. Qabr is coming, Akhirat is coming, the day of standing in Allah's court, the day of inshallah receiving Jame Kosar from Rasul-e-Paslaus's Mubarak hand. That is in front of us, that is the reality, not this dunya. For that, my respected brothers, stand up and give our names to go 4 months in the path of Allah. Who is ready, inshallah? Very quickly stand up, cash we want, brothers, cash 4 months, Ramadan is coming, Mubarak time to spend in the path of Allah. Stand up, mashallah. Young and old, make the niyat, this is not a promise or a commitment. The standing up is supplication, asking Allah, Ya Allah, you accept me to go in your path. Stand up, my respect. Who's ready? 4 months in the path of Allah. Okay.
Stand up, brothers, mashallah. Give your name. Stand up, mashallah.
Get ourselves accepted by Allah.
Who's ready, inshallah, for 4 months?
Oh, had you say, bye, musalla. Stand on the musalla and fight with Allah. Ya Allah, why are you not accepting me to strive in your path?
Stand up, brothers, mashallah.
Very, very quickly, bye. Don't wait for others. If we stand, someone sees us standing and they stand, we will get their reward also. Keep standing till our names are taken, mashallah.
Mashallah.
Jalli, jalli karo, bhai.
जी जी भाई क्या नाम